From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on December 19th, 2024, from South Carolina Public Radio Studios here in Columbia. And as you know, we have a programming note because we have our next live lead taping on January 9th, 2025. That's right, in the new year. We already got things to do in the new year. Be here or be square, okay? We need you to be there. We'll also maybe stream on YouTube, whatever. Who cares? We want to see you. We want to hear you. It's going to be our legislative preview episode. And we are still expecting to have a big name guest. So you're going to want to go to livelead2025.eventbrite.com and RSVP now for this free event, because I guarantee you it's going to sell out quick. We're going to have some food, we're going to have some bevvies, we're going to have some fun. We want to see you January 9th, 2025 here at our studios in Columbia at 6 o'clock. And also, we're going to be off for the next 2 weeks, guys. That's another programming note, but we will have a special episode for you next week. Stay tuned for that. But yes, we will return to our regularly scheduled programming on January 7th. So fear not, we'll see you in the new year. If you don't like that, I know who you can call. 803-563-7169. Leave us a voicemail. Tell us what you think. Tell us again what you think is going to be hot or not in 2025. We're going to have a special episode soon about that. But if you missed that, give us a shout and we can talk about it in the new year as we progress in 2025. 803-563-7169. This episode of The Lead is another dedicated econ pod.
Econ pod.
Malfunction.
We have worked out all the kinks in this episode.
Does not compute.
We fixed it.
Econ pod.
See, it's fine. Everything's fine. Good as new. Gosh, thank you, AT. Now, this is my full interview with USC research economist Dr. Joy Von Nessen, recapping the economic year of 2024 and previewing 2025. We're talking tariffs, wages, inflation, sticky interest rates, globalization, the labor market, and more, and how this affects South Carolina, and thus, you. Without further ado, here's Joey responding to my opening question about what the top economic issue of 2024 was.
Well, the frustration level really comes from high prices. It comes from inflation. And I think that's very clear. That comes through in the data, both from a consumer confidence standpoint, from a voter standpoint. We saw polling data very clear that the economy was at the top of the list of voters' concerns. And that's because prices have risen much faster than wages, and consumers have lost purchasing power compared to where we were on the eve of the pandemic back in December of 2019. And so that's just generated a lot of frustration. And there's a real disconnect there because consumers are worse off compared to where they were in terms of purchasing power. But overall, the economy continues to perform well. And that's something that we don't often see, where the performance of the economy as a whole is very different from economic perception. And the bottom line is that we are recovering from a pandemic bubble. Mm-hmm. We've had red hot demand. And the good news as we look forward is that that correction period is now largely behind us, and we may actually see consumers make up for all that lost purchasing power in 2025.
And so when we talk about that consumer sentiment, we talk about, you know, inflation was declining most of this year. When it comes to just how people measure the economy, is it really just that economic perception that folks have on the economy?
I think that's exactly right. And a good comparison point is to look at this recovery from the 2020 recession compared to the recovery in the 2008 recession. Because it took us about 7 years in South Carolina to recover all the job losses after 2008. It only took us 2 years this time around. So we think, oh, well, that's much better. But the price was that high rate of inflation, because we had so much stimulus that generated that high level of demand. So we basically said, as a country, we want to recover our job losses faster, but we're willing to trade off or accept higher prices as a result. And so we've really been in recovery mode still through 2024, because you've got to get both back to really have a genuine expansion. You've got to recover the lost jobs and the lost purchasing power. We haven't done that second piece yet, and that's why consumers really are still frustrated.
When you look back at 2024, what do you think was the top moment for you? Was it rates coming down? Was it inflation starting to cool? What's the highlight for you in 2024 for the economy?
Well, I think the highlight is where we saw inflation finally fall below the rate of wage growth. Mm-hmm. And so the latest numbers show wage growth at 4.0%, average annual wage growth, compared to inflation, which is currently at 2.7%. And that difference has been steady throughout the year. And that's a real turning point for South Carolina and for the U.S. because it means that consumers are clawing back that lost purchasing power. They haven't gotten it all back yet, but we are projecting that they will likely get it back in 2025. It's not a very satisfying answer to address this frustration to say, well, you know, prices have been up, let's say 10%, but oh, by the way, you're slowly getting that 10% back. But that's the reality that we're seeing. And so that's actually very good news as we move into the new year, because consumer spending is the biggest piece of GDP. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that we see consumers get this purchasing power back so that they can continue to spend in the way they have been.
Were you surprised that the economy played such a big role in the election? I mean, of all the issues, I mean, was that a surprise to you?
I would say no, because again, consumers really don't like when prices rise, and that generates a lot of frustration. And the other thing about inflation that is really a challenge is that it permeates all areas of the economy. You can't get away from it, right? No matter who you are, you know, you're going to the grocery store on a regular basis. You're buying things on Amazon. You're going to the gas station. So you're constantly seeing prices go up, and it's just being reinforced in Americans' minds every single day. So when prices are rising faster than their paychecks, they notice, and that has an impact on their day-to-day lives. And the reality is, from an economic perspective, we really don't want prices to come back down. And again, that's not a very satisfying answer.
I don't like the way that sounds.
But the only way you see deflation, where prices come back down to where they were before the pandemic, is if we have a recession, and deflation also generates other problems that are actually worse. So the best we can hope for and what we want to see is for prices not to go up more in the future. In other words, we want them to stabilize where they are and get back to slowly ticking up over time at about 2%. That's what the Fed wants. And so then how do we make consumers better off? And the answer is we need to see stronger wage gains. And we're beginning to see that in 2024. Again, that's a very positive development that we've seen this year and something that we expect will continue in 2025, which makes us more optimistic about the new year.
Joey, when you look at just the stickiness of inflation, I think we can call it sticky at this point, because it was 2.7%. The CPI came out this week for November. Is that kind of concerning to you to see that kind of not going down as much and to being almost like plateauing, it seems like?
Yes, that is the major wild card and the biggest short-run threat to South Carolina's economy and to the national economy, because you're right. It bottomed out at about 3.1% about a year ago, and then it's been essentially bouncing around ever since between about 2.5 and 3. So it does seem to have settled down. And the Fed's goal, remember, is 2.0%. That's what they've said they wanted to achieve, even if it takes a recession to get there. So they're very serious about pulling it down. And the major factor that has brought inflation down so far from that 2022 high of 9% was housing costs.
Yeah.
Housing costs had tapered because as interest rates started to rise in 2022, that tapered demand because it made the cost of buying a house higher and lowered affordability. And so we saw a pullback in demand, and that helped taper the rate of price increases. So that helped to pull down inflation overall. But housing prices have stabilized. So if we look and say, well, what else can pull inflation down? How are we going to get to 2% from where we are? And we look around and we say, well, there's really not much that can get us there. We have a lot of inflationary pressures that are still fighting the Fed, strong consumer spending, high wage growth that we've seen. Again, that puts upward pressure on inflation. We've seen an increase in shipping costs, global shipping costs this year. So there are just a lot of different factors. And that doesn't even bring into consideration the potential for tariffs in 2025, which also put upward pressure on inflation. So the bottom line is that we see about a 50% chance that inflation might actually tick back up towards 3% next year because there are so many factors at play, and we just need one or two of those to gain some momentum to really move the needle on inflation.
So do we see them making more aggressive cuts then, if that's one way to maybe combat this, when we talk about all these other pressures that are at play, that could be at play?
Oh, I think they're still likely to lower rates next week when they meet, probably by 25 basis points. That's the consensus. That's what they've led everyone to believe based on their statements, and I think they will likely stick to that. And then as we look ahead to 2025, I think it's very much up in the air what they're likely to do. There's a lot of speculation they'll continue to cut rates, but I think they are really going to be focused on inflation. And if we do see inflation tick back up towards 3%, the reason that matters so much is because it does influence Fed policy. Mm-hmm. It would make them less likely to want to cut rates further. And that impacts what businesses can do, what consumers can do. So that just prevents that stimulative effect of lowering borrowing costs, which, again, helps businesses and can help consumers.
Do you think that they should still cut, or do you think it's maybe for the best to let it sit where it is right now?
So I think, so I would say that the 25 basis point cut that is likely to happen next week is probably the right decision there. And I think what they're seeing and what I think they're doing correctly is they're taking a wait and see approach. How does inflation evolve? What types of policy changes do we see with a new presidential administration coming in? How does that move the needle on inflation? And then make a decision at that point. The other factor that they're looking at as well is the jobs market, which we haven't really touched on yet. And that's been cooling this year as well as part of this broader movement away from a pandemic bubble, again, where we've had this red hot demand because of all the stimulus dollars. And we've seen a bit of a cooling of the labor market. It appears to be stabilizing, but that's the other factor. And if we see the labor market continue to cool by more than the Fed would like to see, that's more justification for stimulus. Because the Fed, at the end of the day, they have that dual mandate, right? They want to keep prices stable, they want inflation low, but they also want to maximize employment. So they have to consider these risks of inflation going up, but also look at the labor market, which is cooling. So it's a tough decision every time they meet.
So what's the headline for 2025 then, Joey? You guys spend time putting together this economic outlook forecast. You have a lot of business leaders, a lot of policymakers come to Columbia. You'll all talk about that. What's your forecast for next year?
Well, overall, we expect steady growth and more sustainable growth. Sustainable is really the key word for 2025 because we're moving away from recovery mode. We're moving away from this pandemic bubble where this economy has been running red hot and really unsustainably hot, and moving towards a more sustainable rate of growth going forward. And we can see that in multiple ways. And especially when we combine that with this, the fact that this adjustment is largely behind us, with the fact that consumers are likely to regain all that lost purchasing power. In other words, if wages continue to rise faster than inflation in 2025, the way they are now, we expect that on average, again, your mileage may vary for everyone out there because not everyone is in this position. But on average, when we look at consumers, they will have recovered their lost purchasing power, meaning that that purchasing power that was eroded over the last several years, they'll have made up for that in terms of wage growth. So really the economy in South Carolina has the potential to really be firing on all cylinders for the first time since 2019. So it's a fairly positive outlook for the new year.
So when we talk about, the benefits, what could happen? What are some threats that could affect that outlook, in your opinion?
Well, the main threat goes back to inflation. That's the wild card, because if we do see inflation go back up, that can impact what the Fed does with interest rates, and that can affect business investment in South Carolina. It can affect what consumers are able to do. So that's really the key threat for next year. And then more long-term, the labor shortage. That is a bottleneck on growth in South Carolina, and it is likely to be in 2025 and really for the foreseeable future, certainly for the rest of the decade. And that's because of broader changes in demographic patterns that we're seeing at the U.S. level. The aging of the baby boomers is really the core of that component. And South Carolina, because we are very attractive for retirees as well, we're aging faster than the national average. So employers across the board, across all industry sectors, are struggling to find the workers that they need. And that is certainly going to be a problem in 2025, just as it has been for the last several years.
And I promise we'll talk more about labor in the state in a moment. But when we talk about tariffs, that's obviously a word that everyone's learning more and more about. You see these current proposals from the incoming Trump administration. What do you think that could mean for some of our biggest trading partners, our neighbors to the north and the south, how that could affect goods? We're talking about 20%, up to 60% if it's from China, things like that. How do you see these playing out? I know it's early, but where do you see things right now, Joey?
Well, we have to really separate what we know from what we don't know. And we have to start with what we know. What is a tariff at the end of the day? It's just a tax. It's a tax on imported goods, and ultimately it's a tax that's paid by the American consumer. Because when you see prices go up for goods that are imported, that means that consumers are paying more if they're buying those goods directly from overseas, Or prices can go up indirectly when businesses are paying more for materials that they're inputting or that they're using as raw inputs that they then, in some cases, have to pass those price increases along to the consumer. So it is a price increase that's paid by consumers, but there are potential benefits as well, especially to states like South Carolina that have a major manufacturing footprint. And tariffs are designed to, in this case, looks like they will be designed to support manufacturing, bring more investment to the United States. And so to the extent that that is successful, that can actually benefit South Carolina in the long run if we do see more onshoring, more manufacturing investments in the state. So so you have those costs and those benefits. That's the economics of it, right? That there are costs and benefits. And then the politics is the big question of, well, is it worth it, right? Are these benefits worth the costs and vice versa?
Some people say that these are just tactics from the Trump administration, but it seems like some other countries will be willing to play hardball if it comes down to it. Is that worth it when it comes to how that could impact inflation and these prices that everyone voted to bring him in office for?
Well, it is a risk. And inflation going back up is a major risk associated with these tariffs. And businesses don't like uncertainty. They like to know what's coming. And we can see businesses having to pivot based on what we might see. So retaliatory tariffs, as you mentioned, is one good example of that. If we were to see manufacturers in South Carolina, we're an export-oriented manufacturing state, meaning that we produce a lot here that we then sell to customers all over the world. And if they impose retaliatory tariffs, well, what does that mean? It could mean lowering, that could impact the demand for those goods that we're producing here. And those businesses may have to look elsewhere. They may have to pivot to, if we see a retaliatory tariff from China, for example, they may have to pivot to the European market or to the American market. Is that feasible? How easy is that for them to do? How disruptive is it? Those are all really good questions. And again, we don't know enough about how these tariffs are going to be implemented to know specifically how these companies will be affected. But it's definitely a risk. And again, companies don't like uncertainty at the end of the day. The other thing to keep in mind with these tariffs is it does create uncertainty. But the good news from a perspective of what businesses are looking at is that they have, in a sense, been prepared for this because of the pandemic itself, right? So we went through a major period where businesses began to look for alternative supply chains that were more local because they saw so much disruption. And the just-in-time delivery system, which most companies were, international companies especially, were beginning to really rely on, they backed off from some of that, looking for secondary sources and looking for alternatives, recognizing that a pandemic or a pandemic-like event may occur again. And so just what do we do in that scenario? So that helps prepare them for this type of thinking where tariffs may be a reality and they may need to pivot again. So that's good news in the sense that this isn't coming out of nowhere, that they have been thinking in this direction for a while.
Yeah. Right here in South Carolina, state economists are forecasting 2.5% growth for the next fiscal year budget and a $1.1 billion surplus thanks to previous year's revenue boost. But they have said that things will slow from the above average rates of growth. I mean, is that good? Is that good that we're returning maybe to a more stable, steady growth pattern compared to the sugar highs that we were riding after the pandemic?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And that's what I alluded to before when talking about sustainability or sustainable growth being the key term for 2025. We have seen a very strong recovery over the last several years. But again, it's been more of a pandemic bubble, I think is just the best way to describe that. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't been sustainable. So as we look forward, we're looking for more steady rates of growth. We're looking for consumers to be able to recapture that lost purchasing power and hopefully get more purchasing power as we move forward. That's now a possibility as well as we move to a more sustainable growth pattern. So I think those projections are accurate and reflect the really a new norm that we hope will be emerging in South Carolina next year.
And we've also seen lawmakers lower the individual tax rate by about 0.1% over the past few years. It's currently at 6.2%. Do you think the state can go lower? You have a lot of folks calling for lower tax rates, maybe also lower tax rates for the corporations in our state, especially when we're looking at competitiveness in the Southeast. What do you think needs to happen when it comes to tax policy in South Carolina, if you want to weigh in?
Yeah, I think overall that is one area where we haven't been as competitive in South Carolina relative to our peer states or other states in the Southeast. So what does that look like from a political standpoint? I really can't speak to that point, but I think that is certainly a worthwhile conversation to have because it is very important for us to remain competitive. We've built so much positive momentum in South Carolina. We've been a leading figure in terms of advanced manufacturing. That's been the primary driver of our state for the last 10 to 15 years. And we've outpaced all others in the Southeast when we look at advanced manufacturing growth. So South Carolina has built a very strong reputation, and we want to build on that momentum. So when we think about tax policy, what do we need to be doing to improve that brand that our state has developed and improve that momentum? And I think that's where the conversation needs to start.
Yeah, we'll be hearing a lot of that when they get back in January for sure. And we've also seen, we're talking about the, you know, this strong manufacturing industry that we have in our state. We're talking about the job market. We've seen the unemployment rate tick up to 4.7% here in the state. I want to ask you just, do you see any red flags when it comes to the stability of our labor market right now? And possibly also, what role do you think AI, when we start talking about, you know, productivity gains and replacing workers, it seems like, how you see that factoring into all this too?
Well, from a labor market perspective, in terms of red flags, the short answer is no. I think we are in a pretty good position there. We have seen the unemployment rate tick up from 3.0% back in January to 4.7% today. But again, that's cooling from a red hot or a labor market that's almost been too tight, too hot. And the way to see that is if we look at the average unemployment rate in South Carolina historically over the last 50 years, just during periods of economic expansion, right? So just forget about the recessions and just look at the expansions. The average unemployment rate is 6%. Mm. So in that context, 3 to 4.7 doesn't look so bad. It looks like what it is, which is a readjustment from a labor market that's been running too hot back to more sustainable levels. And that's what we want to see in 2025. Mm-hmm. So that cooling is not concerning, at least not at this point. Also, we have not seen any increase in layoff activity. That's all been from slower job growth. So that's a positive development as well. We don't want to obviously see people losing their jobs. So this is a good reason for the unemployment rate to go up simply because of slower job growth. But we can also look at other elements of the labor market. You mentioned AI. Mm-hmm. I think that certainly has the potential to boost productivity over the next 5 to 10 years. Again, that's slowly being introduced. And because we have such a major labor shortage across the country because of these demographic shifts, these productivity gains have the potential to really help employers. And although it will certainly change the skill sets that are needed and require retraining for certain workers, overall, we don't expect as much displacement or as big of a threat to the market simply because the labor shortage is so significant. So AI and technology developments will help businesses to satisfy the demands that they have, particularly when they can't find workers. This helps them find alternatives in a labor market that is very tight. And again, the tightness of the labor market also means that workers aren't going to be displaced quite as quickly as they might have otherwise been. Plus, they have the ability to be retrained.
So that's another thing we'll be watching for, of course, when it comes to all that. Joe, we have like less than 3 minutes left, and I want to ask you about immigration because that's also another big issue that we'll be seeing from the incoming Trump administration, talking about mass deportations. Very unclear on how that would work or what that even looks like. But when it comes to immigration and our state, our country, tell us about the role immigration plays when it comes to the workforce and the needs of our employers, especially in South Carolina.
Well, when we look at immigrants specifically, so we don't have a lot of good data, particularly if we look at, say, legal versus illegal immigrants. Mm-hmm. But in general, when we look at immigrant labor, they tend to be mostly employed in agriculture and construction, to a lesser extent in tourism and leisure and hospitality. But agriculture and construction really are the big two. So depending on what type of policy we see, those would be the two sectors that could be affected. Again, by how much is really hard to say. But it's also important to recognize that immigrants are more likely to be filling unskilled jobs, unskilled labor. And so when we look at the labor shortage overall, it extends to both unskilled labor or unskilled jobs as well as skilled jobs. And so when we look at areas like manufacturing, for example, that require very high-skilled positions, they're already facing a labor shortage, and this is not necessarily going to affect those sectors, manufacturing specifically, as much as something like agriculture and construction, for example. And the other factor here is that if we look at the cooling of the labor market that we've seen over the last 2 years, I think that gives us more reason to be optimistic that it won't be as, that any immigration policy that is initiated won't quite be have as much of an effect as it would have a year or two ago when the labor market was much tighter.
So it could absorb it a little bit more.
Exactly. Gotcha. So it's really hard to say, but I think, again, we have to just look at the markets, the industries in South Carolina, where it could have an impact. And again, recognizing that you have skilled labor and unskilled labor in different sectors, depending on the occupations. And immigrant labor tends to be disproportionately in the unskilled labor category there. And so, again, that just helps us look at where sectors will be impacted.
Thank you, Joey. That was Dr. Joey Von Nessen, who's a research economist at the University of South Carolina Darla Moore School of Business. We were talking on our latest episode of This Week in South Carolina, which you can find and so much more at youtube.com/South Carolina ETV. And we have a wind down section, folks, because that's where you are right now. Welcome to it, A.T. Shire. Welcome to the wind down section.
Thank you.
We're winding down 2024.
We are going to have a special wind down, wind down episode next week, where we are going to reveal the coveted hot or not. And so you'll have to keep an eye out for that. But this one, we're going to be quick.
Yeah.
It's not going to be long. This is where Gavin gets his present. And every single year, I strive normally to buy something that really straddles the line of love and hate.
Correct.
You know, will he like it? Will he hate it? Will it bother him? Like, that's normally what I go for. Here, I went a little different, Gavin. I got you something that I
Full
know
hate.
I know you're going to like this.
Oh, okay.
I know you're going to like this. I was very, somehow I got advertised this. It may be because of you, truly. So if you have gotten this before, you'll have to let me know. And it's because of you that I saw it. But without further ado, so much ado in this episode.
Ado.
How about you rip this sucker open?
Well, I'm going to first open your holiday cart. Oh, my God.
It's a tree arena.
Oh, it's a tree of baby arena in the show. It's first family Christmas. Oh, and the baby's on the back,
the cats,
too.
The cat's on the back, of
this
course.
This is beautiful.
It's the first Christmas card Caitlin ever did. She did it in the cover of Night. She didn't tell me it was done until
Love
it was
that.
Here, because I would have said no.
Yes.
Because I am not a seasonally happy man.
Oh, my God. These are adorable. I'm going to need copies of all these.
I'm going to need hard copies of all these babies.
My family, we've done. I'm going to need copies of all these, actually. Because there's so many, they're so cute. But the Jackson family has always done a Christmas card from birth up until present day. So
death.
This is, yes, people get added in. No one's ever been removed from it, as far as I can tell. But yeah, that's
besides
good.
For natural reasons.
They know what they did. Okay, now I am
the
opening.
Present. Caitlin wrapped
this.
It's wrapped in a, she goes, I'm going to wrap this in a weird way.
Okay.
And I said, okay, I was just going to bring you a box.
Yeah.
But go ahead, pop that sucker
yeah,
open.
Yeah, this is wrapped like a... Like how I would wrap something.
It's wrapped like it was a circle, but it's a square. It's very odd. This is good ASMR.
Okay, I'm not going to look at the box. There's a box. I'm going to just rip the box.
It is labeled.
So I didn't see the label. Now I'm opening the box. Ooh, I love this.
More boxes in there.
Okay, this. Oh, my God. It is a box of tinned fish.
It's a tinned fish sampler.
Oh, my God.
It is a bespoke tinned fish
yes,
sampler.
Yes, Fishwife. We love Fishwife. Oh, my God. I'm going to just, oh.
They sound pretty good. Read a few
they
of those.
Are,
read a few of those
I've
names.
Had some of these, but these some I haven't. These are the anchovies in spinach extra virgin olive oil.
Like, that sounds good.
Yes. And I've had the albacore tuna and spicy olive oil.
It's
delicious.
I did get advertised this because
definitely because of me.
Because of Gavin. But I saw it and I go, oh, you know what? He would absolutely love this.
You know, they are bougie. I've seen them in stores. They're a bit pricier.
The sampler pack was pretty good.
But it's a good array. It's a good offering. It's quality stuff. And they also add a little bit extra stuff. Like, we're talking like crispy chili in these chili flakes. A little bit more of a... curated offering.
It's
of
really good.
Fish.
Yeah,
so very
it's
sweet
really
of you
good.
To get this. Thank
yeah.
you, AT.
I knew that you would actually enjoy that, and I went against type. I went against type this year. I did, and that's okay.
Smoked salmon in Szechuan chili crisp.
That's going to be good.
That's going to be good.
Salmon is boring. I'll go ahead and say it. Salmon is
correct.
Is a lame.
You got to zhuzh it up a little bit.
And chili crisp will do it.
I think we had tinned fish on an In-N-Out list like a couple years ago. Too.
Yeah. Oh, it's been.
I've been pushing it hard.
We did say in past episodes very recently, and I sort of alluded to it that tinned fish is your love language.
Yes.
And so here you go. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, AT.
Nothing
Thank you, Shire
terrible.
Family. Yes.
Nothing terrible.
Well,
this
good.
Year.
Good news. I'll
Next
tell you that.
Next year it'll be double. Terrible. But anyway, people, have a good weekend. Listen for our hot or not list, okay?
Yes.
And Gavin, take it out.
Thanks as always for listening to the pod. You guys really make this show what it is. You can always show us your appreciation by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or a voicemail, 803-563-7169. And you can stay up to date with the latest news on scetv.org/news and southcarolinapublicradio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers and come see us on January 9th for our live lead taping. You can find details on those websites as well. The South Carolina Lead is a production of South Carolina Public Radio. Our producer is A.T. Shire. Amy Crouch is our supervising producer. Sean Birch is our executive producer. This podcast is produced with support from PRX and is made possible in part by a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, as well as listener contributions to the ETV Endowment of South Carolina. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Okay. You working on your gutturals?